Browns fans, secure your Cleveland Browns season tickets for 2014 today. Place your deposit to lock in the best seats and prices. Don't miss your chance to join the best fans in the NFL at First Energy Stadium. Visit ClevelandBrowns.com or call 440-824-3434 today. Again, visit ClevelandBrowns.com or call 440-824-3434 today. Lock in those tickets for 2014. Even the notorious one is talking playoffs in 2014, so lock that in today. Join now in the Dog Bowl by the one and only Mary Kay Cabot, who covers the Browns for the Cleveland Plain Dealer and Cleveland.com. Mary Kay, welcome to the show. Quick turnaround this week, Bills Thursday night. Browns defense riding high, though. You got to like their chances at home on the short week.
You really do. You know what? Just in talking to the guys in the locker room, I'll tell you what, the vibe of the last victory has really carried over. It's too short of a week to even get over that victory. You can just feel it. There's energy. There's emotion in there. And the one thing that stands out to me about this defense from any other year that I've watched a good defense or at least start out the season here is the fact that they really feel that they have a quarterback that can go along with what they're trying to do. They're so excited about
that. Huge.
No, that's an excellent point. And I think it speaks to what we're looking at here, maybe even from a broader perspective, because this is what I like now. We're having conversations about, let's use the defense as the example. We're having a conversation that says this defense is playing so well. Now we're going to compare it to the last time the Browns had a defense like this. I can't recall on a consistent basis if we've seen it since 99, right? I mean, you do have to go back to the days of Hanford Dixon, Frank Minifield, to where you
Top
felt
dog.
That type of, and then Michael Dean Perry. I mean, that's really where Rob Burnett is, those are the names that are coming to mind when I think back to the last one that felt like it had the dominance of this one.
Absolutely. And, you know, in talking to a guy like Joe Hayden, what he keeps saying over and over again, you know, why is the defense so well? Yeah, you know what? They have a good defensive coordinator, but it's the playmakers that's the talent that they have yep. now on this defense. Guys that could go out and start for many different teams. Barkevious Mingo coming in and lighting it up already. Paul Kruger doing what he's doing. Desmond Bryant, that was a great pickup. You know, and the thing about it is I still think they have a ton of room for improvement because Quentin Groves is not out there, Jabal Sheard is not out there, and neither is Billy Wynn. So there's plenty of room to go up.
There certainly is, and as you look at this game against the Buffalo Bills, it's a team right now that's banged up on the offense. Both C.J. Spiller and Fred Jackson will come into this game hobbled if they are able to play at all. And you look at that front, so you say, we're going to be able to take away the run game. Hayden's going to lock down Steve Johnson. He's playing as well as any cornerback in the NFL. Buster Screen starting to play a little bit better. Certainly had his best game of his career last week. Tayshawn Gibson around the ball quite a bit, I will say, and I've been impressed with him. So you look at this defense on the front end, and even some of the guys that were the question marks starting to elevate their play the last couple weeks as well.
Yeah, you could not talk to anybody in the Browns locker room after that game, anybody on defense, without them saying, hey, this was all about the back end of the defense. They took no credit for it. They wanted Joe Hayden to get his credit. They wanted Buster Screen to get his credit. You know, they wanted Tayshawn and those guys to get their credit for that victory. So, you know what? I remember talking to TJ Ward, Joe Hayden, a lot about Buster Screen in the past. They raved about this young man. Even when Buster was taking a beating last year, you know, from fans, and it seemed like he was giving up some plays here and there, these guys still said, hey, you have to watch out for Buster. He's a good player. I think what this staff has done, they've kind of harnessed what he does well. And, you know, he's getting coached up really well by a former defensive back in Ray Horton. And, you know, they've kind of brought out the best in him.
That's such an excellent point. And I think it's his demeanor, too, that they like. He isn't getting flustered or frustrated. If he is, he doesn't show it. Right? When you talk with Buster, he seems pretty calm about the whole notion. And I don't want that to be interpreted as he doesn't care, because he cares. But he takes it in stride. I think he recognizes what he has. Great speed. He can be physical. But yes, Horton, Louis Chofi, the defensive backs coach, Bobby Babich, the assistant defensive backs coach, all coaching the daylights out of him and making sure it's reinforced every day. Buster, you did okay here, but you got to do this.
Right, and you know what? And they believe in him, and they felt that way from the start, and his teammates believe in him. So I think that's helped tremendously to have – that kind of confidence. And then we've talked about this from day one. When you have a pass rush, it's only going to help out those guys in the back end.
Right, right.
And so, you know, those guys are also benefiting from that. And again, we saw Buster always being aggressive last year, not always being, you know, able to make the play, but now he's combined that with he's making the play.
He is making the play, and that's the key. And I think the confidence that came from the breakups against Greg Jennings carried over last week, and that can be infectious and contagious, and I'd like to see it keep going from Buster Skrine. Let me ask you this, some injury updates. Obviously, we don't know if Jabal Sheard will be able to play. Do you think Sean Laval makes his return this week against the Buffalo Bills, or will it be another game of O'Neal Cousins?
You know what? I think they will kind of let that go down to a game-time decision. Since it is a short week, what you might be able to do is give Sean Laval 10 days after this to really get that ankle where he needs it to be. If you play him in this game and you kind of rush him back there a little bit, there's a chance that, you know, maybe it might be a little bit too early. But, you know, it all depends. If the medical staff says that he is absolutely ready to go, they will play him. He's optimistic that he can play this game. I think I would lean towards letting him rest through that 10 days.
Mary Kay Cabot joins us from Cleveland.com, the Cleveland Plain Dealer, covers the Browns, has done so for several years and many years, and an excellent job. You mentioned one of the reasons maybe why you wouldn't worry about Sheard, even though he's as good as it gets, I think, in that front seven, is Barkevious Mingo. I think the calmness that you would have as a coach is, yeah, but we've got that guy, and that guy has been special.
He really has been special.
Wow.
It's great.
He's been
what?
Unbelievable.
I'll tell you, when he suffered the bruised lung, I was really worried about that. I mean, I've done a lot of research on, you know, lung injuries and when Jason Pinkston had the pulmonary embolism and things like that. And so, you know, I knew a lot about what was going on there. And, you know, it can be a very scary thing. And they weren't entirely certain exactly how it happened in the first place. So there was a lot of uncertainty around that. And he spent a month off the field. And that's a long time to be away from the game. But he is so well conditioned and such an incredibly good athlete, the likes of which I don't know if I've ever seen come through here, an athlete
right.
that good. You know, he was able to bounce back and recover. And he's not showing any signs of lack of wind or anything like that. I mean, he's just so fast. You know, they're talking about that, you know, he's like a legit 4-4 guy.
Yeah.
And in today's NFL, that's exactly what you need. So I think fans have to give these guys a lot of credit for picking Barkevious Mingo.
It's worked out great. And I remember a couple weeks ago, maybe was it last week when that Derek Thomas special aired?
Yeah.
They were talking about his lean. And I saw it, you know, I said, the only person I've seen that looks like that, Mingo did the same thing. And he has been incredibly impressive. The defense has been great. Let's talk offense for a second here. Mary Kay. We know about Hoyer, Gordon, Cameron. We like those guys. The ground game, though. Last week, Willis McGahee, 15 carries, got a little bit in the second half going, 10 carries, started to move the pile. I don't understand why the Ravens decided to run 9 times against the Bills team that was giving up about 150 yards per game on the ground going into their matchup. But is this the week that you think Willis McGahee gets going and they run the ball a little bit more effectively than what we've seen in the first four?
Well, you know what? I think it was just a great sign what he was able to do in that last game, to come through on that last drive and do what he did. I mean, he was definitely one of the MVPs of that drive. With those three runs there, he actually thought he scored on his final one. He feels like he kind of got robbed there. But to see him get those tough yards, I think that was just a great confidence booster
right.
for him. And this is the town. Let's not forget this. This is a town that you know, thought the sky was falling because Trent Richardson was gone.
Oh, yeah.
And now you get a pro. This is a pro's pro, Willis McGahee, to come in here and to be able to do that after being in the league as long as he has been, coming off of a knee injury, and to get those kind of yards. I mean, to watch him hit the holes the way that he does,
right.
I think it's just been a great boost for the run game.
No, and I think it's that's where it has to start. It has to start with his play and what he contributes as a player, and we started to see the signs of that in that game, late in that game against the Bengals, when you needed to close it out on the ground. That's the ideal formula for this team. Throw it, set up the run that way, make your as many yards as you can or get as many points as you can, and then grind it out toward the end. So that blueprint worked. But it's more than his play. It's the attitude that he brings, right? There's a swagger. There's something really good on a very young football team to have this 31-year-old guy walk in the locker room and be someone that really other younger players should listen to, should be around. And I'm not saying he's got all the answers, but there's just something about him that he's taken in through his time in this league that I think other guys can benefit from.
Yeah, absolutely. He's. I was told, you know, very early on when he first came here, great guy, great character guy, great leadership. The other thing is he knows the Rob Chudzinski way. You know, Rob Chudzinski worked with him, obviously, at Miami when Willis was in college. So he knows the drill. He knows how to work for this coach. So I think that helps. And when you have a couple of Pro Bowls behind you, that helps too. So what they lost in Trent Richardson, they gained in leadership in Willis, you know, by far, because, you know, Trent was still someone that needed to kind of learn some things. We heard that after he left from some veterans that basically said, you know, he has a ways to go before, you know, he can be the kind of veteran that's going to be a dominant football player. Well, Willis already knows all that. And, you know, there might be a little extra for him this week to play against the team that originally drafted him.
For sure. And you know what I like about some of the veteran additions that have been made? Kruger, now you bring in McGahee. These are guys that were on winning football teams last year. Even Chris Owens in Atlanta, that's a winning football team. So there are some people now on this roster at pretty much encompassing the whole team that know what it's like to be on a winning team, to know what that actually feels like. And I think that's important, especially in Hoyer. Last year, obviously, he bounced around. He was in Arizona. But before that, he was with New England. Always a winning football team. So I think that there actually is some of that vibe and some of that feeling. And I think that's one of the things that McGahee can bring an intangible in addition to his play on the field. And listen, if he comes out there and runs for 3 yards per carry, I know it's not fun to hear, but he's doing exactly what we were getting at the running back position before the trade of Trent Richardson. And I know that doesn't sound sexy, but that really is the fact of the matter. So as long as he can continue to do that, bring the toughness, get it done, take care of the football, this team right now is in a better position than it was for reasons that may not necessarily make themselves apparent in between the lines on Sundays or Thursdays.
Yeah, I mean, you know what? I mean, directly speaking, I mean, you're basically trying to say, you know, to have Willis here, you know, nobody really needs to miss Trent Richardson. And I would have to say right now, if he continues to run like he ran in that pass game and find the holes the way that he did in that game, like a veteran pro needs to do, then I think you can say that, you know, it's a wash. He replaced and maybe even exceeded what they were going to get out of Trent Richardson.
Yeah, I'm at this place. I don't need to see necessarily the Pro Bowl performance at the position. I don't need to see anything that represents dominance.
Doesn't even matter.
What I do need to see, though, is the complement that position can bring. If it's McGahee plus the others, if Bobby Rainey does some things in situations, right? If Chris Obanaya does the types of things he did in that last game, an unsung guy who came up big, I think, against the Bengals for this offense. If we see that collectively, I'm fine with it. I don't think we need to see, because there isn't really a starring role that this offensive plan is going to feature.
Right, and the other thing to consider is just because you're not necessarily starting out with the ball in your hand, you're still getting some tough yards on the ground in terms of yards after catch with, like, receiver screens, with what you saw them do with a Travis Benjamin. So in some ways, that's almost like adding to or complementing your running game. You're getting the ball into the hands of guys like that on the short passes and the screens and things like that, and then they're taking it and running another, you know, 30 yards after the short catch. So, you know, you're getting,
that's a great point.
You know, you're getting your yards that way too.
Absolutely. And listen, even when Trent was here, he wasn't playing on third downs.
No,
but I was the third down back, so he wasn't even playing on third down. So really, it is a group effort to replace that, and thus far, they've done a good job. That's why they're 2-0, and we know it is a little bit of a different National Football League. Well, certainly looking forward to this game Thursday night. Mary Kay, thanks for stopping by as the Browns look to go to 3-2 and beat the Buffalo Bills down on primetime national television at First Energy Stadium. We will be back with more of Cleveland Browns Daily, driven by Liberty Ford here on ESPN 850 WKNR.